praise God for the songs, for the theme that the message has been preached already at least twice, I think. I am so thankful for how the Spirit works and for the gifts that He has given to this church. For those who have used those gifts this morning, thank you so much, team. I want you to think of a time where you have received good news, okay? Not just any good news. Not just any good news. I'm talking really, really good news. Not like, oh, good, it's a little warmer today. I'm talking, wow, news that changes things. Think about that good news. How did it change things for you? What was it like? How did your thinking change? What choices did you make that were different? What plans changed? I remember vividly the moment that Heidi and I found out we were going to be parents. What a moment. She surprised me with the news and the evidence, and it was exciting. Things changed. There was a bit of confusion maybe at first. What are we going to do? Am I ready for this? Right? Maybe a little fear. I'm not ready for this. Right? And then joy. Wow. A gift. A child is growing even as we speak. Research, right? Lots of research, planning, a lot of praying involved, a lot of thinking. What will we name him? What kind of person will he become? More praying, a lot of thanking God. Man, everything changed when we found out that we were going to be parents. Having children has changed our life. If that's true for you, you've experienced the same thing. And that good news had an immediate and lasting impact on how we thought and how we thought about the future and what decisions we made. And in our text this morning, we heard Courtney Cox already read that for us this morning. In our text this morning, the same thing happens. The angel's announcement of Jesus' birth to the shepherds. This is a familiar story. And today our focus is going to be, I want you to focus in on the shepherds and how they change in this moment. And also be thinking, why would Luke include this story? So let's take a look at Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 8 through 20, and we're going to talk a little bit about what are we looking here, what changes are we seeing? Luke chapter 2, read with me, would you please. In the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of God. Luke includes this in his gospel for a reason. What is that? Well, a little bit of context. Luke is writing this text to a man named Theophilus. And the purpose is stated in the first verses of chapter 1. Luke is writing this to establish those things which Theophilus has heard and learned. Theophilus, a Greek man, likely was not aware of Jesus until the gospel began to spread in the early church. And now he's getting some reassurance, or Luke is doing some research in order to help bolster those teachings. What are those teachings? It's the gospel, right? And Luke wants to establish these things in his book here, in this gospel. And when he does that, he uses a phrase over and over in this book. He uses the phrase, good news. You understand that this is the word that we get the word gospel from. This is the good news. And here in Luke chapter 2, it's the second time it's being used. In chapter 1, the good news is given to Mary. Here in chapter 2, the good news is given to the shepherds. John the Baptist in chapter 3 preaches good news. And Jesus himself describes his ministry as preaching good news. Luke 4, Luke 7, chapter 8. All of the Jesus is describing his ministry as preaching good news. Even the disciples are sent to preach the good news. But this isn't just any good news, is it? Right? This is good news of great joy. This is significant. And so we're going to look at this announcement a little bit closer this morning, and we're going to look at four ways that the shepherds changed. Maybe you noticed them already. Four ways that the shepherds change, and four ways that the gospel changes those who hear it. And my encouragement for us this morning, for you, and this is our take-home thought, is to let the good news of great joy change you. Let the good news, the gospel, change you. Evaluate, has it changed you? What's different after hearing the gospel? Let's take a look at the announcement this morning to the shepherds. First of all, we note the first change that we see is that the shepherds go from mega fear to mega joy. Luke chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. The words used there are two different words to describe fear, and when you put them together, it literally means the shepherds were thinking, oh great, we're dead. That's what they were thinking. We're dead. The glory of God had appeared. God's messengers were standing in front of them, and this is a very natural response when sinful man is confronted with the holiness of God. Isaiah feels the same way. I am a man undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in amongst the people of unclean lips. I am undone. Woe to me. Fear, great fear. And what do they say? Don't be afraid. Do not fear, right? We bring you good news of great joy. This wasn't bad news. This was literally the best news ever. It still is. And the angels calm their fears and announce that there's joy. See, the shepherds go, what a paradigm from we're dead to this is life-changing news. And what happened next, right? The shepherds, they hear this announcement. The angels go, and it's dark again, and the shepherds just gather around the fireplace or the campfire there and continue talking about what they were talking about, right? They just kind of, well, that was weird. And then they go on with their night, right? No, something changes, doesn't it? Instant action. Look at this. What happens next? This change from fear to joy produces a difference in the shepherds. Their desires, what they had planned for that evening, completely was thrown out the window. See, gospel joy changed the shepherds. It created new desires. Let's look at those, three of them. First of all, from waiting to going, it created a desire to know more. A desire to know more. Verse 15 and 16, the angels went away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, let us go. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste. They went with haste. They desired to know more. I don't know if you've ever done any sort of treasure hunting, but if you have, you're hoping most of the time if you're doing any metal detecting, right, or maybe just thinking, oh, I wonder what's out here and searching through maybe ruins. I heard some stories about everybody's got kind of a treasure hunting story. But imagine if you had received an actual treasure map, like you knew, okay, at the end of this puzzle is treasure. You'd want to go find it, right? It would cause in you a desire. And so the Lord shows to the shepherds, hey, there is something incredibly different happening here. More so than any other time, this is the promised Messiah, God in man. And these shepherds are saying, wow, this desire is now, previously, I don't know what their desires were before, but it had nothing to do with going and finding a baby in a manger. And now they're going. Let's go. Let's go with haste. Proverbs 2, 1 through 5 says this, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." See, the gospel news here, this gospel joy created a desire for these shepherds to know more. It wasn't enough to hear the good news. They wanted to know more. And the more we think about that, let me just ask you, have you ever considered what you've learned about God? In your time of walking with him, what have you learned to be true of God, read in scriptures, experienced in life? Has that created a desire to know more? What's another change we see? They desired to know more, but then what happens in verse 17? When they saw it, right, they go and they see the baby, and they saw it, and they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. They desired to tell others. They went from silence to proclamation. These shepherds, who were kind of social outcasts, were now walking the streets and proclaiming the good news that only moments prior they had heard for the first time themselves. This was significant. These shepherds were not considered socially acceptable. They weren't even considered reliable witnesses. And now they're going and saying, God has given to them, the shepherds, the good news. And now they're sharing it. They wanted to know more and they wanted to tell others. I love Pastor's phrase here. He's used it many times. What are we doing here? We're just some beggars who have found bread trying to tell others about what we found, right? That's what we're doing here. There's nothing special in us. This church is, we're not any better than any other person, right? But we found the gospel. God's word has been clear and has been shared with us. And we have experienced the life-giving freedom of the gospel. What are we trying to do here? We're not just coming and saying, well, that's nice, that's fun, and then we'll go do our own thing. No, we want to tell others. Has the eternal hope of the gospel comforted you through loss? Go share that with someone who's experiencing loss now. Has the truth of the gospel helped you deal with guilt? Encourage someone else with that same truth. Maybe God has demonstrated himself faithful when you doubted. Go and strengthen the faith of someone else who's struggling. See, the good news produced in the hearts of the shepherds an irresistible desire to tell others. They couldn't keep it in. They wanted to know more. They had to tell someone about it. And what's the third change here? As they leave that place, the shepherds return, verse 20, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. See, everything was different now. I mean, and understandably so. I mean, angels showed up, right? Started singing and proclaiming the glory of God. And then the news of the long-awaited Messiah was given to them. And they went, and it was true. They experienced it. They saw the baby that was announced. And they were telling others. And then this natural upwelling of praise was the only reasonable response to all of this. They sit back and they think, as maybe they're wandering back out to where the sheep are, hoping maybe the sheep are still there. I'm not sure how many went. But they're thinking, wow, what just happened? Everything was different. Their ears had heard the proclamation. Their eyes had seen the baby. God had revealed truth to them. And when God opens our eyes to the need of our Savior, the need that our sin creates, and we understand for the first time that we don't have to earn a relationship with God, that changes you. That changes you. And what was once a proud assumption, right, or maybe just a hope that you were good enough, becomes praise to God for his work, for not our own. Those who know God will desire to give him glory. I don't know if you're familiar with the name Mike Durant. Mike Durant was a pilot, an Army helicopter pilot, and was shot down over Mogadishu in the early 90s. The story Black Hawk Down is a story of that situation. And Mike Durant was shot down. His co-pilot was killed on impact, and he was injured, broke his back, I think. and he's crashed. And over the series of events in that story, that happening there, that battle that was going on, Delta service operators, special service soldiers, they volunteered to be dropped in at this helicopter crash site and to defend Mike and the crash site against the oncoming enemy soldiers that was just numerous. And these two soldiers brought with them what they could and used every bullet and gave their lives in defense of Mike. And Mike survived. And he writes a book in the Company of Heroes. I read it long ago, but Mike returns from this experience and in his book attempts, probably in his opinion, very weakly, to give honor, right? To honor the names of these two soldiers who selflessly gave of themselves for Mike to experience life, to continue to live. And so he honors these, and that's a natural thing. And just like a soldier who is saved by the selfless actions of another, there is a desire to honor the sacrifice made, to give glory to their name. Friends, if you've trusted in Jesus, if Jesus and his death on the cross is real to you and you believe in that, then your sin is forgiven. You have been given life that you could not earn, and you must tell others, and it should well up within you with a heart of praise to our Father. That's a natural response to the gospel. This was the first proclamation of the gospel to anyone outside the immediate family. This is the first time. The gospel's gone public. It's in its infancy. And we see changes that the gospel brings and would bring. Did you catch them? See, joy replaces fear. No more fear, no more guilt, no more worry. There's joy and confidence that comes with the gospel. There's a desire to know more. There's a desire to tell others, and there's a desire to glorify God. And the question that we're asking is, why does Luke start with this? Is this just retelling a story, like this is what happened? Or is he doing something a little bit more? What's he doing? I think he's setting up what might be one of the best callbacks ever. Look at Luke chapter 24. Turn there with me. Luke chapter 2 is the beginning of the story. God comes to earth. Jesus is with us, Emmanuel. The good news is proclaimed. He would save his people from their sins. And in Luke 24, verse 36, this is the end of the story. Let me read this for you. As they were talking about these things, they being the disciples of Jesus, Jesus himself stood among them. And he said to them, "Peace to you." Verse 37, Luke 24. But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For the spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Do you have anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of boiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them, and while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up to heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with, what's it say? Great joy. And were continually in the temple blessing God. You see, Luke's doing this on purpose. This is not an accident. The beginning of the gospel story begins with great joy. And here at the end, as Jesus now returns to where he has come from, we see the same gospel changes. Did you catch them? Look in verse 37. From fear to joy, right? The first one, the disciples were startled and afraid, right? But Jesus shows him his hands and his feet. He eats food in front of them as an evidence that he is alive. He is risen. The resurrection is true. There's peace that comes from this, confidence in Christ's resurrection. So we see from fear to joy, and then we see this idea of desiring to know more, this understanding of the Scriptures. Look at verse 45. Jesus, as he sits with them, he opens their minds to the Scriptures. They understood it. Ah, light bulb. They got it. I see where we can see Jesus proclaimed and prophesied in the Old Testament, and as they looked at that, they understood. They knew more. We see the proclamation, right? Verse 47 and 48, repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the generations. You are witnesses, he says. Fear to joy, a desire to know more, an understanding of the Scriptures, a desire to proclaim, a command to proclaim. And finally, what's the response? It's great joy, isn't it? It's worship. It's praise. It's a desire to glorify God. While he blessed them, verse 51, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And what did they do? They worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Luke begins his gospel with the effects, the changes that the gospel brings. The shepherds are no longer fearful. They have a desire to know God or know this truth even more. Right? They tell others and they proclaim the glory of God. And in the disciples, after Jesus' ministry, after spending time with them, and as they learn from him, after his death and his burial and his resurrection, they experience the same changes. Do you know what that means for us today? That means that those same changes will change us. See, gospel joy changes the shepherds, gospel joy changed the disciples, and gospel joy will change you too. So let me ask four questions around this same thing. First of all, are you at peace? Romans chapter 8, verse 1, one of my favorite verses and one that I need to remind myself regularly. Can you quote it with me? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No fear, no guilt, forgiveness, joy. What's stealing your joy? Meditate on the goodness of God, right? This is the joy of the gospel. It doesn't mean that our lives will go smoothly and that there will be no pain. We understand that that exists and that is part of what God even does in our hearts to draw him to himself. But the joy of the gospel looks beyond these things and says, I understand that there will be a day where all things will be made whole. I'm looking forward to that. Don't let those things destabilize you. Second question, do you desire to know more? Isaiah 55, verse 6 says this, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Do you have a desire to know more? Do you seek God? Let me encourage you, if this is an area where you're weak in, read your Bible. That is the best place to know God. If you've experienced the gospel, then you're going to desire to know God more. If you've known a little bit of God, you're going to say, wow, I need more of this. Read your Bible. If you're struggling, I just wrestle with getting consistent or whatever, let me give you a couple tips. First of all, read it slowly. Don't try and flex on people and say, I read 3 books of the Bible today. That's okay. You don't have to do that. Read slowly, carefully. Consider what you're reading. Read it repetitively. I encourage people, read one thing a week. Pick out a section of Scripture and just meditate on that for a week's time. Read it every day. It'll start to unlock. The Spirit will show you. He will open your eyes to understand the Scriptures. Meditate on one verse or passage. Here's another thing. Read with other people. Read aloud. Maybe even listen to it being read to you. There's many apps that get used. Some happen here at church during the service, right? We know you hit the wrong button, it's going to start reading scripture to you, right? Join a Bible study. If you're looking for ways to know God more, read your Bible, come and join one of the Bible studies. We have many different types of Bible studies here. Please join those. Don't miss out on those things. Do you have peace? Do you desire to know more? How about this? Do you desire to tell others? 1 Peter 3:15, in your hearts, honor Christ as Lord, as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason of the hope that lies within you, and do it with gentleness and respect. Go tell people. Go tell people. If God has saved you from your sin, don't hoard that. That's not meant to be hoarded. In fact, if you understand it, you're not going to be able to keep it in. You've got to tell people. We have door hangers. Grab a bunch of those. Pass them out, right? Introduce yourself to someone at a local coffee shop. This is easier for some than others. Ask questions. If you have a relationship with a neighbor or whatever, you don't have to walk in his front, kick in his front door and start sharing the gospel. Just ask him, where are you at? What do you think about these things? Evaluate opportunities. Offer to seek with someone else, right? You've got questions about God's word. Bring someone along with you as you answer those questions. And maybe if you're feeling, you know what, I'm struggling. I don't know if I have the desire to tell others. Meditate on what God has done for you. That's what the shepherds were doing. Wow, what just happened? What has God done? He has given to us the message, the promised Messiah is here. And they couldn't help it. The more they thought about it, the more they had to tell others. Pray for God to create a desire in your heart. Maybe even evaluate your spiritual health. Go back to the first one here. Read the Bible. Know God. Finally, does your heart respond in worship when you consider this great news? Romans 12:1. Paul begins the applicational portion of the book of Romans after a lot of theology around the topic of the gospel. All that God has done, first verse of application, Romans 12:1 says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, reasonable service. This is the natural response for those who have understood and received the gospel and believe the gospel. It is a natural response to praise God. You know what that means? Even if you're not great at singing, sing it out, right? Nobody here is counting. Nobody here is recording you, okay? Just belt it out. Praise the Lord. Unfamiliar song, maybe? Read the words. Hum along. The text of our songs this morning were so good. So good. Think about them. Focus on the truth that they have. And you know what? Even if you know the songs, it's helpful to do this sometimes. Just stop. Instead of just routinely singing through those, maybe just meditate on the truth that you're seeing there on the screen. Not your favorite style? Consider how great God that we have who has created so many diverse people, and we have many different ways to praise God. Praise the Lord for that. What an awesome, awesome time. Take time to pray and thank God. If your prayer life only consists of requests to God, you're missing half of it. Maybe more than half. Pray to God. Glorify him in your prayers. Tell him how good he is. It will warm your heart. It will cause you to well up and meditate on the truth of the gospel as it springs out of you in a voice of praise. And that is infectious. Remember the people? The shepherds are around telling everyone, and everyone just kind of wondered, wow. Where did these guys come from? What changed the shepherds? The gospel will change you in this way. You see, good news affects us. Really good news. Just like we found out that Jack was coming. Didn't even know he was going to be Jack. Right? But everything changed. The way we thought, the way we looked at each other, the way we understood our lives, the way we our financial planning, everything changed in that moment when we received what at the time was the greatest news that we could have ever heard. Friends, the gospel is the greatest news that anyone can ever hear. It produces life in us as we believe and trust in the fact that Jesus came and lived a perfect life and died on the cross for us. He's taken our place under God's wrath, and we can now go from fear to joy. The gospel, the good news of great joy, will change you. Believe it. Let's pray. Lord, we ask for your help. We see and we understand that your goodness to us in the gospel is not by mistake. It is something that we recognize as a gift from you. It is purposeful. You have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. You have proclaimed the good news to the shepherds. You have done that work in the hearts of the disciples, and we ask that you would do that work in our hearts, that we would foster and participate in the change that you are doing. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that has not yet believed the gospel, maybe they understand it intellectually, but they have not yet placed their trust, their complete faith in the fact that Jesus has borne the penalty of their sin, I pray that they would do that this morning. And Lord, if it be your will that someone would come and trust in you, that they would come and tell us about that, that they would talk to one of us. Let me encourage you, hearer, if you're hearing this, let us know what God's doing in your heart. Come down and tell us this morning, or even let us know. Call into the office, but we'd love to be able to rejoice with you in the good news of great joy this Christmas season. Lord, for us who have experienced this gospel truth, help us to tell others. Give to us a desire to go and to tell and to share the good news. Lord, help us not to hoard it, but help us to proclaim it as your disciples, as the shepherds did. And Lord, we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. It's in his name, amen.